Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
So I'm hoping that's what we hear, and I will report back to you on the golf.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Please. I want that to be
Do you want to hole
by tomorrow.
Hole today when I'm out there? Or, you know, Eric, I just parred this hole.
I could have been your caddy.
They have caddies there.
Oh, sorry.
Like, so, who know how to caddy in
so
the golf
So just a guy
course.
Like me can't
not,
do it.
I don't need a bag ape. I need somebody to help me.
Okay. Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
One health statistic that you often hear about or for at least the last 20-plus years, right? Obesity and where the country stands as far as obesity rates. Well, there is promising new data out on obesity rates in adults here in the U.S.
The CDC releasing new data showing more than 40% of adults in the U.S. are technically obese. That's slightly down from nearly 42% between 2017 and 2020, but is still higher than 37% a decade ago.
So good news there that you're seeing it tick down a bit. Lawmakers are going to be in Washington today with options on bringing down the cost of weight loss drugs. Of course, weight loss drugs like Ozempic have been in the news quite a bit the last 18 months or so. But where are we at with kids?
Our main strategy, I think, right now is, can we prevent obesity in children? Can we delay obesity in children, right? Even delays for a few years will be really important if we think about health and about the level of obesity that's eventually reached at the population level.
That's Dr. Solveig Cunningham. She's a professor of global health at Emory University. She says that's the biggest issue right now is children and just changing the behavior of what children are consuming, what they're eating, and how much exercise they're getting on a daily basis.
And changing our behavior parents.
Yeah.
Of
correct.
How we address food, how we address snack time. Like you and I have complained over the years with our kids in whether it's youth sports or activities or whatever, everything always includes a snack.
Yeah.
Who's bringing snack? Who's doing snack? Why do we need a snack?
Yes.
Why do we need a snack?
Youth sports, my gosh.
They practice soccer for 28 minutes. We don't need a snack time.
And then people will bring like donuts.
Right.
Like
here, kids.
Here, grab a donut. Like, what are we doing?
That's on us. It's not their fault.
No, you're right.
7:16, sports coming up next. Hey, opportunity to listen back to my webinar with Annex Wealth Management's chief economist, Brian Jacobson, and the director of financial planning, Eric Strom, a couple of really smart guys. We got together and reviewed how the sunset of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act could affect tax planning and which strategies might make sense for you. We discussed similar moments in history where this has happened, options you might have to mitigate a potential tax increase. And then we looked ahead, talked about choices the federal government may have to delay or eliminate those increases, which at this point are coming in 2025. Visit the Annex Wealth Management webinar page on WTMJ.com.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
And then there were six more games to go in the regular season for your Milwaukee Brewers. It starts tonight on the road in Pittsburgh, a three-game series against the Pirates. Any chance now at the 2 seed in the postseason, which would mean a bye in the first round of the playoffs? Starting to slip away. The Brewers about 4 wins back now behind the Dodgers and the Phillies. It's going to be really difficult to
do. The Phillies clinch now, though, right?
The Philadelphia,
so maybe they
took
their foot off the gas a little bit.
Maybe, but no, they're still going for the 1 seed, too. You could argue, but they did clinch the East on Monday night. You know who they beat? Craig Counsell and the Cubs. So if the Brewers were
to stay
in the 3 seed, that would mean they would host a best of 3-game series starting next Tuesday at AmFam. Host of the Brewers, of Brewers Extra Innings, Dom Catronio.
3 days in a row, all 3 games would be at American Family Field. And then, quite frankly, as the rotation looks right now, Freddy Peralta might be game one starter.
Yeah, it could be Peralta next Tuesday night at AmFam. It'd be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Don't know the start times or anything like that. They would likely face either the Mets, the Braves, or the Diamondbacks. Who you want?
None of them, thank you.
As for tonight, Tobias Myers on the Hill, Brewers and Pirates. Our coverage starts at 5:05, 5:40 first pitch on WDTMJ.
Former Packers running back Aaron Jones returns to Lambeau Field Sunday when the Vikings come to town. I had forgotten about that.
That he was on the Vikings?
Yeah, that he was on the Vikings. Yeah. Dude's having a pretty good year. Just ran for 102 yards against the Texans last week. Had 5 receptions and a touchdown through the air.
He's a problem. He is, and he looks really good.
He is a problem. Packers head coach Matt stopping the run will be a priority certainly for the Packers defense Sunday, even if it means stopping our old friend.
Certainly, he's one of my favorite players that I've ever had the privilege to coach, a guy like that. Still got a lot of love for him. Just won't have a lot of love for him when we're playing against him.
Just for about 3 hours on Sunday, not so much love.
Are you booing him?
No, I'm not going to boo him. I mean, he was a free agent. Packers didn't sign him. He did what he had to do. I wish it hadn't been the Vikings.
He scores a touchdown.
It would be a friendly boo. Like, this is the game that we play, you know.
Yeah, right. I got you. Yes.
Vikings come in undefeated. Packers at 2-1. No update as to whether quarterback Jordan Love will start this week as he's still working to recover with that MCL injury.
Two games on Monday Night Football. The Commanders upset the Bengals. The Bengals now 0-3 to start the season. And the Bills flat out embarrass the Jaguars. 47-10 the final in that game.
Siding Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 7:20. Coming up on 7:24, bringing Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Niznanski. Niz, if one were to expect to play golf at Erin Hills today in Washington County, how would one fare in terms of shot activity?
Honestly, I think not too bad.
Right.
Looking at like all the trends, like where I left things off last night, and looking at what Tyler was showing this morning. Most of these showers are going to kind of like hug our eastern counties. Now, you might get a passing light shower. It's not going to be maybe the prettiest day if you're inland. But most, I would say, you know, like Waukesha West, like most of your day is dry. You might get a passing light shower at some point. There are clouds and temperatures in the 60s to around 70, but definitely not a washout. Not Sunday, that's for sure. And now, if you are in Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, maybe even up to Port Washington, you have a much better chance of seeing some heavier showers. Now, again, it's not going to be an all-day widespread rainfall, but just the showers are more numerous and maybe a little bit heavier closer to the lake. It's not lake enhancement or anything. It's just the way the area of low pressure is working up from the south into Michigan, and we're just kind of getting clipped by the system.
Boy, Sunday was a washout. How do we end up with such wide disparities in some of those rain totals? I mean, Waukesha over 3 inches, but Milwaukee Airport just over an inch.
Yeah, so like even here in like at my house in Grafton, I got 0.7 inches, which I was very, very happy about. But then when you see the fruits that other people got, it was like, wow. So, yeah, I mean, we had a widespread, you know, kind of a shield of rain that moved through the area. But there were a couple different times where there was pockets of actual convection, convective nature, basically not quite thunderstorms, but you had vertical lifting and you had some torrential downpours in a few spots. So there were many locations that, you know, everybody had the rain for most of the day, but there were a few spots that had an hour of a very heavy downpour. And those were the spots that ended up with, you know, the 2 inches or the 3 inches or even close to 4 inches in a few spots.
How you feeling, Niz? You feeling okay so far?
Niznanski health update.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the appendix saga is going to be, it's going to be a long battle for me. I feel fine. It's just very inconvenient. I still spend the first hour and a half of my day administering various antibiotics through my IV in the morning. I just met with the infectious disease doctor yesterday, and he had told me, very nice doctor, he had told me that he foresees that still going for at least a couple more weeks. Apparently the bacteria that infected my appendix is stubborn. It likes to hang around for a while, so they got to hammer that. And then the other worst thing is I still have a drain in it. I mean, this sucks. I mean, imagine everything about a drain stuck into your organ and you have it attached to you and you carry it around and you try to dress around it. You try to shower around it. I know people deal with worse issues, But it's inconvenient.
No, you don't want it. And then the great news is you still get to have surgery.
Yeah, exactly. So in the long haul of things, I meet with the surgeon tomorrow, and we get a game plan. But it's still looking like they want to knock the overall infection from the rupture down until they remove the appendix. So, yeah, I get to – the icing on the cake will be removal day, which will probably be in about 5 weeks.
We'll keep hanging in there. Appreciate you playing Hurt News.
All right, sounds good, guys. See ya.
Manager of your Milwaukee Brewers – Pat Murphy joins us on Brewers 360 at 7:45.
How much of a fan of the NBC sitcom Friends are you? Are you a super fan? Could you become the ultimate Friends fan? New game show looking for the ultimate Friends fan. It's going to come to Max.
And it's like on TV?
Yes, in honor of the 30th anniversary of the NBC sitcom. Fast Friends is a four-part game show that is set to start production in October. At New York City's Friends Experience, the one activation, this according to a Max news release. From racing through Rachel and Monica's apartment to darting across Joey and Chandler's bachelor pad and grabbing a coffee at Central Perk, fans will relive their favorite moments while being put to the test with trivia, puzzles, and games that'll keep even the most diehard Friends fans on their toes.
Well, that's interesting. That's an easy play-along, right?
You could watch that, right?
Yeah, you could watch that.
And see if you can answer those questions.
Then,
who is Joey's second girlfriend in episode 4 when this happened?
Right. Okay. You got to really know your friends.
Yeah, you really got to be one of those.
Watch that a few times.
Yeah, so the quickest team participating in the fast-paced competition will claim the title of Ultimate Friends Fan.
7:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. This report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. Seven 7:42 on Wisconsin's Morning News. I was asking Nisnansky about Aaron Hills, who headed out there today. They have a news conference. I'll play the golf course. It's been a few years since I've played it, and I want to see it before the U.S. Women's Open comes in spring of next year. So these are the events, and I talk about it all the time because I'm sensitive to it. I love golf, and I like talking about golf, but I know that's not everybody's cup of tea, right? So when we have the majors, a Ryder Cup, a PGA Championship, a U.S. Women's Open that's coming this spring.
It's a big deal.
That's a big deal for everybody because there's a huge economic impact. There's an exposure impact for the state. These smaller tournaments like a Mid-Am or the U.S. Amateur or whatever are things that matter to golfers, maybe not don't have the wide appeal of a major. There's going to be an announcement today. I don't know exactly what it is. I have learned that Aaron Hills is going to – the news conference I'm attending today is the USGA, United States Golf Association, and they are going to announce that Aaron Hills will be awarded several more of these smaller amateur events. So a big deal for golf. Why I think that's still a big deal is you keep in the mix with the USGA, you host these events, which are a big deal in the golf world, and then you stay in the conversation for the bigger events that matter to everybody and have a statewide impact. So I'm hoping that's what we hear, and I will report back to you on the golf.
Okay. Oh, yeah, please. I want that to be
Do you want a hole by
tomorrow.
Hole today when I'm out there? Or, you know, Eric, I just parred this hole.
I could have been your caddy.
They have caddies there.
Oh, sorry.
Like, so. Who know how to caddy.
So just
a
guy like me can't do it.
I don't need a bag ape. I need somebody to help me.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
Inviting you to participate in the WTMJ Fall 2024 Fan Survey. This will take you just 10 minutes to complete, and we're looking for your feedback. To participate, text the word survey to the WTMJ Talk and Text line, 855-616-1620. We'll send you a link right over to you. And to thank you for participating, you will be entered to win a package that includes two Bucks tickets for the regular season upcoming and an overnight stay at the Pfister.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Monday Night Football, the Bengals fall to the Commanders, and the Jaguars get flat out embarrassed by the Bills. To baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies clinch the NL East. The Brewers get back to work tonight, 3-game set against the Pirates in Pittsburgh. Our coverage 5:05, first pitch around 5:40 here on WTMJ.
360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive, joined by Brewers manager Pat Murphy this morning. Hey, Murph.
Hey, how are you?
So the playoff picture becoming a little bit clearer at this point. The Phillies clinched last night, so that sets up, at least we know who that other division champion is. Still don't know how it's going to play out for you all in the playoffs. How do you approach these last few games with that uncertain picture?
Well, there's a lot at stake. You have to stay healthy. You can't overdo it with anyone, but at the same time, they got to keep in their rhythm. And they can't think too far ahead. It's about the game in the moment. It's about the pitch coming towards you or the pitch you're throwing. And you really got to keep it simple and just keep doing what you do. Stay in your rhythm.
Sorry, Murph. Does playing the Mets the last weekend at home, knowing that you might play the Mets again in just a couple of days later, does that change how you guys approach those games at all or not really?
Well, I mean, it could. I mean, who we're pitching and what we're exposing. Yeah, of course it changes it. But you play baseball, you have to stay in your rhythm. It's not a game you can take a bunch of days off and think that you can perform the same. But yeah, it does change. I mean, you're not going to expose. If you know for sure you're going to play the Mets and you're in the midst of playing, quote, a last regular season game, I don't think you pitch guys that they're going to see, because more familiarity should lend to more success for the offensive team.
Jake Bowers is available for that final start if you need him. Right.
I like it.
Talking with Brewers manager Pat Murphy. Murph, you know, you lost three in a row coming out of the clinching game, which was so exciting at American Family Field, and then you have that Sunday game where you're down 8-0. I said this the other day. I feel like had you just won the ball game 3-2, it would have been for fans, okay. But I really appreciated the comeback and what that means and what that says about the team moving forward.
I agree. You know, like that was, to me, I was writing on the bench, just thinking of ways I can try to help them understand that you can't take your foot off the gas. You can't coast uphill. And then what they did right while I was writing all this, what they did was just amazing. I mean, just to come back, chip away against a really good, one of the best offensive teams, if not the best offensive team in baseball, and against their top relievers. And to see us chip away, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
And you had some booing from the fans. You said that kind of snapped the guys into place a little bit?
Kind of surprising. You know, like this is a club that nobody expected anything out of, and what we did on the field early on proved that, hey, just a bunch of nobodies that are living up to the standards. And no one picked us to win the league. No one thought with all we lost and the injuries and adversity we had faced, trades, cutting the budget, nobody thought that, you know, the Brewers would be on top, especially with all the other teams in the division spending so much money. And none of them are in a rebuild. All of them are in a point where they win now. You know, as you see, they're firing managers in the division because they think they're ready to win now. And it's one of those things where with what the team had done, then to get booed in game 157 or whatever it was, you're like, wow, you know. But there's an expectation, and the team is the one that set that expectation. So I think it was good for them to hear that. And, yeah, I think they responded.
You know, I think it was, if I can speak for Brewers fans, Murph, and I've been one for 50 years, right? It was, you know, a caring boo, if you know what I mean. I mean, this is a community that hosted a giant parade with a million people downtown for a team that lost the World Series. Like, that's, I feel like if I can speak for fans, that was what we meant was, okay, obviously, great respect for what you and what the team have done, but also, like, let's go.
Yeah. Well, whatever reason it was, it's a good one, because I know it for certain, because there's a lot of fans there. I think we had 37,000 that night. I know for a fact it did affect the team, because they heard it. When you only have, you know, 20,000 there and it's sparse and it seems like, you know, meaningless game, and nobody really cares, I think it doesn't affect the team as much. When there's that many people and they're saying, hey, look, guys, don't take your foot off the gas. Look, we're expecting great things. Whether or not you're experienced or not, or whether you're injured, I don't care. You know, like, you can still play good. You're healthy enough to play today. You can still play good. And I think it woke him up. I thought it was great.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy with us on Tuesday mornings. Thanks, Murph. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
And Brewers at Pirates tonight, 5:40 first pitch in Pittsburgh.
Idea Man.
Eric, 10 picks is a ton of picks, but how am I going to argue with math?
Innovator.
Xavier McKinney has proven, you know, he's showcased himself in a big way.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
And now he's on track to blow through years. Is that going to be accurate then if it's at 16? Is your 10 really that bold?
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tauscher on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. How are you, Tausch?
Good morning, Vinny. How are you?
Hey, you still on the lam?
Vinny, send help. I need help. Good morning.
Never did get that picture of you with today's paper. I'm still concerned, pal.
God, I laughed so hard when we finished up the other night, it was bright and early. But, man, what a good conversation. I just was listening to you guys with Murph, and I love the fact because we had a discussion last week about how, you know, with the Bucks and both the Packers, I think that expectation game that, you know, Murph was talking about. And I love the fact that Vince decides to let Murph know that this is what the Brewers fans, the 35,000 yeah. people. Hey, Murph, I just want to let you know, we weren't booing you because we're disappointed in you. We were trying to encourage you. But it's always fascinating because players will say and coaches will say that none of that stuff affects them. And I love the fact that Murph just came out and said, you know what? It did affect us, and it affected us in a good way. And it's just another reminder. And it's not for Vinny, when you get together with the 40,000 and let them know kind of what the plan is for booing and cheering, you make sure that fans really can impact the game. And when it's football, it's making noise on third down, it's doing this. And in baseball, obviously, I think if you're booing every night, it's probably not great. But I just thought, wow, that to get that insight and to hear kind of how much that affected the guys, pretty powerful stuff.
Do you buy my explanation there, Tausch, as a fan?
Like, what did you say? It was a
caring boo.
I don't know.
We booed because we cared.
I have to admit I was chuckling as I was hearing it because I love that you have now like taken the mantra of, you know, voice of it. But I do. I think, you know, there's differences, right? When I can remember last year when Green Bay was struggling, it was 2-5 and, you know, we got the first down was with like 2 minutes left against the Vikings up there, up at Lambeau. And it was the jeering, like, hey, way to go, boys. You finally got a first down. That was not the vibe that you're getting. So you can tell fans or players know. And a lot of times when it's disappointing and you just are looking for a kick in the butt and the fans just want you to win so bad. And it's not that mocking. I do think there's a big difference. And how cool is it? If you're a fan and you're going to be out there, you're getting to the postseason games, and to know that you can have that kind of an impact is pretty, I think it's awesome for, you know, for the fans to hear that the players and the coaches both acknowledge that that does make a difference.
So what do you do then Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field? You want Aaron Jones to know that you love him and always will love him, but at the same time, you don't want him to do well. What do you do?
Not booing
yeah,
that guy.
I think that, and what we've seen teams do is you throw a little something up there early in warm-ups, you know, a little video montage, and Aaron Jones is going to know that people respect and appreciate what he did, but you want to make it uncomfortable. I'm not interested if he has a long run and our fans, you know, cheering that. That's not what we're looking for, but for sure beforehand. I don't think anybody has a problem. We'll meet with Vinny. Vinny, when we meet with all the fans, we'll kind of figure out what that right approach is going to be for how we approach Aaron Jones' return to Lambeau.
I'll issue a memo later today, Tausch, with some points so you have something in front of you for when
yes, I think we all just need to be educated as far yeah. as we're all looking for whatever that might be. So, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, Ben.
I got you, my friend. 7:59 on Wisconsin's Morning News.